Thing but an Abrams tank.
Everybody, welcome back into the show. Second half hour of our history lesson, talking about the Cold War with Pastor Chatfield. I'm sure the lesson plan has you at a certain point right now to go forward with this. Let's get into the lesson plan and let's discuss some of the text messages coming in as you go.
Okie dokie. When Truman was president, and he basically... His foreign policy was known as the Truman Doctrine, which is what every president following Truman followed right up until George Herbert Walker Bush, which was contain communism. That was the whole thing, contain communism. Remember, the Soviet Union after World War II had dominated Eastern Europe. There was you've heard this before. When Churchill was in Missouri at a college, and he said this. He said, from Stettin in the Baltic to Trieste in the Adriatic, an Iron Curtain has descended across the continent. So that was where we get the phrase, the Iron Curtain. And so and I haven't even talked about the Berlin air relief plan that had to happen. And there's a lot of things that happened throughout this Cold War. But the policy of the United States, of all, both Republican and Democrat, was to contain communism. That's why we got involved in Korea. That's why we got involved in Vietnam. That's why something called the Marshall Plan after World War II, which Secretary of State Marshall says, and passed by Congress, we sent billions and billions of dollars to Western Europe to help them rebuild after World War II, to make them strong Republican forms of government so that they would not be susceptible to communist infiltration. We viewed communism as our chief enemy around the world. That virtually everything was in the view of that. And almost any foreign policy event, we'd always look to what will this do? What will this do? And by the way, I haven't even talked about what happened in China. After the Chinese communists under Mao Zedong, before the war, they were kind of at war with the nationalist government under Chiang Kai-shek before World War II. After World War II, the Japanese were defeated, but they went back to war. And so by 1949, the communist Chinese took control of China. And Chiang Kai-shek, his army, they retreated into the island of Formosa and formed they called themselves China for years and for decades, up until I think it was the Carter administration. Whenever we dealt with China, we were talking about Taiwan. We did not recognize China. It wasn't until Nixon and then Carter that we says, okay, we're going to recognize that the communist Chinese are the official government of China. That's when they took the place of Taiwan, which was called China, on the Security Council. Up until then, it was, when we said China, we meant Taiwan. Now, when we say China, we mean the communist Chinese. And so there was that conflict also. And the Chinese and the Soviets formed this loose alliance. They signed a treaty with each other, but they were kind of a little bit competitors of which of these communist nations would be the leading communist power on Earth. And as you know, the Soviet Union collapsed 1989, 1990, 1991. It collapsed. And all the countries that were under the thumb of the Soviets, they were joyful. And they turned to the West, to NATO, which I haven't mentioned yet. Okay, after World War II, the countries of Western Europe formed this alliance called North Atlantic Treaty Organization. We got to stand up against the Soviet Union. And the Soviet Union brought together all their satellite nations of Eastern Europe, and they formed what was called the Warsaw Pact. Now, in fact, the Warsaw Pact was under the thumb of the Soviet Union, period. Whereas NATO, no, countries were still making their own calls to some measure. And countries like France, the United States, throughout these decades, had numerous times where they didn't like what we were doing. Because what had happened by the 1950s, when there was a conflict over the Suez Canal where France and Britain invaded to take back the canal so it'd stay open to Western shipping. The United States under Eisenhower says, get out. No, you can't do that. And it was kind of humiliating to France and Britain. But by that point, France and Britain were no longer superpowers, and they weren't going to dictate things. And we told them, you can't do that. It was clear by then that the United States was the Western power, Western leader. And it was about that time that, you know, you say, well, the president is the leader of the free world. Well, to some measure, that I suppose that's true. Now, we, however, especially under Donald Trump, say, well, wait a minute here. We didn't elect Donald Trump leader of the free world. We elected him president of the United States. But so all the presidents, Republican and Democrat, since 45 to this day, with one exception, with Donald Trump, they were internationalist in their view of things. It doesn't mean they wanted a one world government per se. It doesn't mean that they all they're working. I see so much of this. This is just, so-and-so President Carter or President Nixon or President whoever. Name all the presidents. They're globalists. They're working. No, but they do have an internationalist view of things. Whereas President Trump, you know, America first. Yeah, we're going to consider America first. He was the only president since World War II that has kind of said that. We're going to back off a little bit. And you know what? Hey, NATO, we're tired of us paying the bill and you guys not even giving your fair share in trying to defend the West against first the Soviet Union, now Russia. Hey, start paying up or hey, we might just pull out. I'm not sure President Trump would do that, would ever do that. But he's at least putting some pressure and say, hey, we're not going to go to bat for you if you're not going to stick with the promise to, I think it's 3% of your GDP. You got to help with this. You got to help with this. And so he's the only president since World War II that has really said, hey, we're going to concern ourselves with America. And so when the Soviet Union collapsed, let's say from 1990 to 2000, we have the peace dividend. It was at that time that the American military was greatly reduced. I think we went from about 3 million men in the army to a million and a half. And we had this peace dividend is why during the Clinton administration is the last time we ever had a balanced budget. Because now we actually had a balanced budget. We're so far from a balanced budget right now. I don't think we're ever going to get another balanced budget. But we did have a balanced budget for a while. The Republican Congress and a Democratic president. And so what changed? And I'm stepping back here, 2001, 9/11, when the Twin Towers went down, our focus turned from Russia to fighting radical Islamic terrorism. And that's kind of where it's been for the last 20 years or so. Although now with the invasion of the Ukraine by Russia, we're saying, man, they're still a threat. But there's threats all over the place. North Korea is a threat. China's a threat. Iran is a threat. I mean, there's threats everywhere. That is the nature of history, everybody. There's always threats. So that's kind of an overview of the Cold War. Ask away.
Well, one of the questions that came in, if we never actually, quote unquote, ended the Cold War, and now with Putin making these threats yesterday, here's the question, point blank. Does he see the writing on the wall with Donald Trump winning these caucuses and primaries? It's going to be a foregone conclusion. He'll be the nominee with enough candidates long before the national convention in July in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Is he saying Donald Trump's coming back? And if I'm going to make any type of move or threat to be able to get the United States Senate and the House to stand down. I got to strike now. I got to make these threats now. I got to, you know, shake this saber and rattle this saber in order to get their attention to see if maybe perhaps I can end this thing by threatening them with nuclear war to the point where they concede Ukraine and say, okay, go ahead and take it back before Donald Trump becomes president.
That's possible. Let me add one more thing in historical significance. Ronald Reagan was very, you know, he was strong. He was a war. He called the Soviet Union the evil empire. He confronted them. And he started to develop something called the Strategic Defense Initiative, saying, look, this strategy of MAD is crazy. I mean, so he's tried to say that we could deploy satellites and we could shoot down, potentially, we could shoot down Soviet missiles from outer space and we could defend ourselves. And at the time, if you'll remember, everybody was saying, this is destabilizing. This is destabilizing. In other words, the Soviet Union, this kind of what you just said, go back to the 80s. The Soviet Union will launch an all-out attack on us before the SDI, nicknamed Star Wars program, could be initiated. And so by building your defenses, you're actually destabilizing the world, and we're closer to a nuclear war now than if you'd have just left mutual assured destruction and just let it the status quo. Well, they were wrong, of course. The Soviet Union tried to keep up with us. President Reagan was really, really putting more money into defense. And eventually, the Soviet Union cried, uncle, we can't do it. We can't keep up with the United States. Our economy just won't allow it. They wanted to negotiate. And then when they started negotiating and loosening up, opening up a little bit, detente, thawing, perestroika, opening up, boy, the Soviet Union fell apart. I maintain this, that when the Soviet, when the Russian people in Eastern Europe saw that the Soviet Union no longer was going to send tanks in and slaughter people, that's when they said, "Look, we can resist this." You know, Lech Walesa from their from Poland. I mean, there are a lot of movements that happened. The Soviet leaders of the 80s were not as brutal as Stalin. There's no way. So that's how the Soviet Union collapsed.
Yeah, absolutely. Very good. Final segment of today's history lesson. In the next segment, your text messages. I'm Trekker Randy. He's Pastor Chatfield. We'll be right back.
Politics doesn't belong in the classroom, nor does the woke agenda. Hi, it's Dr. Sherry O'Donnell, running for U.S. Senate. As a physician, I know the importance of education. I want every child to have the same opportunities I did. That's why we must return to teaching academics rather than confusing children on gender issues. I will fight for the future of this generation. Vote Dr. Sherry O'Donnell for U.S. Senate. Paid for by Doc Sherry for Senate.
Presqu'ile Electric and Gas Co-op has been committed to bringing a brighter future to members for more than 85 years. That's why we're hard at work to create a future-focused fiber broadband network that will connect rural Michigan to the world. PIE&G Connect will offer the fastest speeds and most reliable internet available in Northeast Michigan. The future is fiber, powered by Presqu'ile Electric and Gas Co-op. Sign up today at PIEGConnect.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. I support this show, and I would like to offer you our biggest discounts for listening. So please go to our website, MyPillow.com, and put in the promo code at the end of this message to get the biggest discounts. Again, thanks for listening, and God bless.
Thanks, Mike. Folks, go to MyPillow.com and enter the promo code TruckerRandy, or call 800-654-9659.
Hey Patriots, Veteran John here in Sheboygan. Taste the purest artesian water on God's green earth. MAGA water. PFAS-free, mineral-rich, naturally alkaline, 8.3 pH, veteran-owned. Go to MAGAwater.com or call 231-818-8255. 218-918-9700. That's megawater.com or call 231-818-9700. Call us today to taste the pure difference.
For all you folks out there that own firearms, are looking to buy a new or used gun, or fix up that old piece at a good price, there's Curtis Gunsmithing. Not too far off the beaten path at 9996 Picker Lake Road in Petoskey, Mr. Tom Curtis is an AGI-certified gunsmith and firearm connoisseur. Don't send your gun out or travel far away for your specialized gun work. You have a friend in your own backyard. Call Curtis Gunsmithing today, 231-347-3487.
Everybody, welcome back into the show. Final thoughts, Pastor Chatfield, to wrap up this history lesson, the lesson plan you had for us today.
Okay, I just say, look, we look at history, and you got to look at step back sometimes and not get caught up exactly where we are right now. In the immediate, look at this. We got to look at the immediate too, I suppose. But I mean, you know, the Cold War, the Truman Doctrine was basically dominated American foreign policy for 45 years. We were in a Cold War. Who won? I think we won. We won. And we can give a lot of credit to President Reagan that we won the Cold War. But listen, there's always going to be threats, and there are a lot of threats out there right now. Pray for the president, the Congress, that we do the right things. And it's not always crystal clear because history can get a little bit complicated.
Well, not only can it get complicated, and like you say, you can never predict the future, but connecting the dots, I honestly think that we are at a critical time in our history, and with all this circus going on in so many directions, state level, national level, Biden versus Trump, they're not watching, they're not keeping their eye on the ball right now. Biden is struggling to stay politically, you know, viable as the candidate for the Democrats. And the media is playing into it, but nobody's really talking about this national review that was sent to the radio station. This is the first breaking news story I saw on what Putin said just yesterday. Nobody else is even covering it.
Right. You know, something happened, I think it was yesterday, maybe the day before, when Mitch McConnell kind of stepped, he's going to step down as minority leader, and now there's, I did like this, and you might not like it, but Majority Leader Schumer went over there afterward and shook his hand, as did our Senator, Debbie
Stabenow.
Stabenow went over there and gave him a hug. Now, why is that good? Why is that good? Oh, because look, you know, they're still Americans. Okay, they're Democrats, Republicans, but you know, you didn't agree with everything Mitch did. Okay, good, fine. I don't know, but you know, we gotta worry about America first, and that's what President Trump has said. I mean, America first, not party first. America first, and everybody involved in politics, try to keep that in mind. Whatever, you know, we're doing this based on principle. These things are not. We have no personal vendettas against somebody. Just
right.
Try not to make this all personal. As you guys do your deal here in Michigan, just try to be Christian and do what you think you ought to do. I am not telling you what to do because I don't know what to tell you to do. Tell you the truth,
right.
But
right.
Try to be. You know, it's not personal. We're trying to stand up for what we believe is right, and then pray that God's will would be done.
Amen. I always ask you now on Fridays because I get so many people saying I want to know what to prepare for on Scripture. They want to be able to know where to have their Bibles turned to with their little sticky notes. So on Sunday, where are you going to have your sticky notes in your Bible?
Okay, I'm going to preach the last chapter of the Bible. Really, I'm going to focus on one verse and ideas. Revelation 22:17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that hears say, come. and let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Hey, come. Our message, Christian's message to our neighbors, to the world, come to Christ. Jesus loves you. He died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again from the dead. Come to Christ. And that's the last message of the Bible. Come to Christ,
yes,
everybody. And so that's what I'm going to be preaching on.
Well, as we're in Lent heading toward Easter, and knowing, you know, everything, Palm Sunday and then what happened, I think the timing of that story is critical for people to hear again. And this year, really take it to heart and to really understand, you know, what he went through for us. And, I mean, what better time to be able to say, you know what? What I've been doing hasn't been working. It's time that I absolutely come to Jesus. And you know all about what you say to the prisoners in jail, what you've been saying from the pulpit for years. And I think the timing of the message this year is even more important. Your thoughts on that?
Amen. Amen. Come to Christ. Pass out gospel tracts. Invite people to come to Christ. Invite them to go to church with you, which that's important. But, you know, give the gospel out to people. It's the only message that has the power to save. It's the message that Christ died for us, was buried, and rose again from the dead, and is able and willing and offers free salvation to all those that will come unto God by him.
Amen. Absolutely. Well, we've got a lot to consider heading into Sunday. We're going to be in Houghton Lake on Saturday. I've got a lot of people praying for, you know, all this to be resolved tomorrow, and then hopefully we can unify and move forward and see where it all goes. Bottom line, the Milwaukee convention in July, irrelevant, in my opinion. It's going to be completely ceremonial. Trump will already have the delegates in the bag shortly after probably Super Tuesday. And I think this is a lot of circus maneuvering for delegates to go to vote for Trump, which is going to be inevitable anyway. So I don't know. I'm sick of this battle. I want it to be over and be able to get back to beating the Democrats on Monday. So
that's it. Amen. That's
where I'm at. So
that's right.
All right, sir. Well, we appreciate the lesson plan, the bring back to history for us, and looking forward to next Friday, every Friday, second hour from 10 to 11. Pastor Chatfield and I, you know, it's now going on almost nine and a half years.
Right. Yes.
Amazing.
Time
flies when you're having fun.
No, it's 10 years now, Randy. It's about it's, 10 years.
Is it 10? Okay. Yep. I thought the anniversary was close, but I got to get the calendar out and look it up. So God bless you, sir. Thank you so much.
Yes.
Yep. Bye-bye. Final hour of today's show. We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to your Defending Fathers with Trucker Randy Bishop.
Take out the paper. Little Traverse Disposal in Harbor Springs supports this radio station, and we would like you to support them. Little Traverse Disposal is locally owned with hardworking guys that provide professional trash disposal for your home or business. You're already spending the money. Why not support a Northern Michigan-owned company who supports us? So call them today at 231-487-0780. Again, 231-487-0780.
Chuck or Randy here. Let's face it, we're all getting older, but we don't have to feel the pains of getting older. Most people and even our pets have daily pain. Don't let pain slow you down. Get natural relief with CBD products from Patriots Relief. Designed by nature and trusted by millions, CBD synergistically works with your body to naturally relieve pain along with many other benefits. CBD is not marijuana and you will not get high. Vicky and I trust Patriots Relief products because they truly work. Go to their website, patriotsrelief.com, then call Tim and his family at 877-230-1776. Mention the promo code TR.